Hello and welcome to Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, the libacious Luke Cutforth.
That's me!
This week we're talking about auto-alcoholics and some sobering stuff. But first, Luke, I've got a question for you.
I'm not an alcoholic.
No, Luke.
I'm not an alcoholic.
No, Luke, my question for you is, what is your alcoholic drink of choice? Given, of course, that you are an alcoholic.
No, I'm a gin and tonic boy.
You're made of gin and tonic. 50% gin and tonic.
Yes, at least. My father-in-law makes a very good and very strong gin and tonic, and I enjoy very much.
You say you're not an alcoholic.
But... not an alcoholic!
Anyway, moving on. So, do you know what we're talking about today, Luke?
Auto-alcoholics. So, either alcoholic cars, alcoholic drivers, drink driving, maybe. Alcoholics who have, they're genetically predisposed to alcoholism, so they're automatically alcoholics. I'm trying to decode these words.
The thing is, you are so incredibly, like, wrong.
I don't mean that
in a negative way. You are wrong, of course, but no, you're wrong insofar as what auto means in this case. You were close, right? It is far stupider and far more simple than that.
Okay.
It's way more simple than your complex brain has made it.
Sorry for respecting you.
It's not me, Luke. It's science that you should respect. No, scientists have essentially figured out how to get drunk without drinking is the tagline. But of course, like all taglines when it comes to science, Luke, that's a misrepresentation. That's not true.
Is it weed?
No.
I figured that when I was 15. Screw you, science.
And so did your cat. No elaboration on that. Let's
that
move on.
That was when I was 16.
Oh, I see. So after a year of partaking in fully legal marijuana, you decided to give your cat a go.
I did. Hey, do not libel me, Corey. You know the story. I'm not going to tell it again. You know the story.
Is it not slander since it's spoken?
Well, we'll decide that in court, won't we?
You threatened to take me to court a lot. No, so this episode, Luke, is about auto brewery syndrome. Have you heard of auto brewery syndrome?
Oh, is it like that thing where people have orgasms, but they're not doing anything? They just spontaneously have orgasms, but instead of having orgasms, they're just like randomly drunk. Like they're making alcohol in their body.
I want to say yes, because technically you were correct, but...
Yes!
No.
The route I took was weird, but...
I'm not a fan of the fact that you decided to... Yeah, do a stopover on orgasms just to get to...
Who doesn't want to do a stopover on orgasms, Corey? Why are you not a fan of that?
I hate orgasms, Luke. You know that about me. I've not once enjoyed one. Never.
I just think you haven't had one then.
No, I've had several. I could count on one hand the number of orgasms I've had in the past week. And I'll tell you this, Luke, not a fan. Just not my thing. Yeah, so people can produce alcohol in the body. In fact, everyone really will produce some amount of alcohol in their bodies, right? That's why, you know, there are the sort of minimum sort of blood alcohol level or maximum? Maximum blood alcohol level. That's
right.
Those are very different words.
Just because you're allowed to have a little bit of fun, but not too much.
No. Like, okay. You're allowed to have absolutely zero fun. You have used up all of your fun when you were 16.
That's in Scotland. You're not allowed any fun. In England, you're allowed a tiny bit of fun.
In England, it might be happening soon that you are also allowed no fun. But no, you can produce a little bit of alcohol in your body. Well, not you so much as the things that are within you can produce some alcohol in your body. But before we get too in the weeds with like how you can produce alcohol in your body to a normal amount, let's ignore that and just move on to the thing that we're talking about today, which is producing it too much.
Oh, okay. This sounds like an excuse for drink driving, but... go for it.
Wow, Luke, that is
Your
actually...
Your Honor, I just produced alcohol in my body. Whoopsie.
I don't know at all why I crashed the car. I didn't have a drink. I wasn't on my phone too much. I just... no, I was drunk, right?
Phenomenal.
I don't like that tone. I'm not a fan of that tone. You gotta watch that tone.
You don't know what's going on. You're drunk.
I never know what's going on. No, so you're being really ableist here, actually, Luke, because this is a real thing, and people do genuinely have problems with it. So you should feel bad about yourself.
I'd like to apologize to the auto alcoholic community.
The ABS community, auto brewery syndrome, or gut fermentation syndrome. So basically ethanol, alcohol, right? Mm-hmm. You kind of produce it through fermentation. Do you know what fermentation is, Luke?
Yep, it's where you just kind of let something sort of, it's like rotting, but not rotting. It's like, it's like sugar turns into a thing with the presence of something else. Yes? Correct. Luke wins.
You went on a journey there, man.
I lifted, to be honest, I lifted my arm. I looked at the camera. I was like, whoa, sweaty pits. Hello, sir.
For anyone listening, if you're imagining us right now, Luke's pits are so sweaty. I mean, I honestly thought it was a design on his Henley shirt that he is wearing.
That would be a great bit of fashion. Like, you just have a sweaty pit there already. So if someone says you have a sweaty pit, you're like, no, it's just the new fashion. I've got sweaty pit, like elbow patches, but for your armpits.
For when like people are like, hey, is that sweat on your the outside of your elbows? No, it's just my cool elbow patch.
It's my cool sweaty elbows.
Jesus. You are, I can't even say that you are wrong about what you've said, because you haven't really said anything. Fermentation is...
That's the trick. That's Donald Trump's trick, actually, so I've learned from the best.
Topical, very topical. No, fermentation, it is basically a chemical process. You take molecules, you like glucose, right? Sugar, and you break it down anaerobically, so without oxygen.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said.
It's close to it. You said sugar.
yeah!
At one point, I think.
Yep, sugar, do-do-do-do-do-do. That's the... Yeah, that's the process. That's what that song is about. It's the process. Sorry.
Have you got all your sillies out? Could
I? No, I've got unlimited sillies. That's the problem.
Okay, we haven't even gotten through the intro to this, okay? And the people demand science. They demand it, okay? So I'm going to read this out, and you're not going to interrupt me.
Okay.
Ooh. Unless, of course, you think of something funny to say. People with auto brewery syndrome, they can produce alcohol, ethanol, to an increased level. That is normal from fermentation by fungi or bacteria in your GI system, right? That is almost a direct quote. There's also, I think, two cases were found, or one of each. One case of it being done in the oral cavity and once in the urinary system.
You're pissing alcohol. So then are you actually getting drunk from that then? Because you're just pissing it. Oh, but it would come up on a piss test.
Mm-hmm.
You do a piss test. It's like, you're drunk. But you're like, please, no, it's just my penis. It makes alcohol.
Your penis.
My penis makes alcohol. It's like a tap. Pull the tap, alcohol comes out.
Where is pee made?
In the balls, famously. Pee's made in the balls.
I don't know why I asked that. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like, Luke is going to say balls.
It should have come out of your penis, but you know, whatever.
As soon as the words came out of the tip of my all too massive penis, I knew that's what you were going to say.
Excuse me.
Sorry?
What?
Hmm?
What?
Yeah, exactly. So, I didn't look into this too much, but urinary system, it could also be the bladder, maybe. What's the word for body? What's the word for body? Body study. Anatomy. Anatomists, yes. get in the chat and let me know if the thing that holds your urine is part of the urinary system.
Anybody studiers here? Have you been studying bodies recently? Get in touch.
Oh my god. It could still probably get into your bloodstream, right? And make you drunk. And essentially, this is so straightforward, right? What do you think happens when your body produces alcohol in your gut? You get drunk from the alcohol in your gut. So the signs and symptoms of this are the signs and symptoms of drinking booze, essentially, right? Usually, the people that have it have a high sugar or generally high carb diet. And the cause, can you guess what the cause of this might be? What might cause it?
An infection of some kind of bacteria or fungus that makes alcohol as a byproduct of its respiration process. Respiration uses out air, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So it's process of turning the and of its no
said
anaerobic
it already.
Respiration.
Said it.
Anaerobic respiration. Yep. I nailed that first time. Ding, ding.
Fermenting yeasts and bacteria that are, and they could be in your body already, right? Because your body is full of bacteria, my guy. It is just teeming with them, right?
It's more bacteria than it is me.
You're not a person with a lot of substance, right?
I'm outnumbered, is the point.
I think that's the point that you're trying to make, right? You have very little substance, and so the microbes in you are more you than you are.
Yeah, that's exactly the point I was trying to make.
If anyone is to thank for Braxton, it's...
Braxton, my film.
it's the
microbes in my gut.
Exactly.
It should have said that in the credits, shouldn't it?
Luke, yeah, like list microbes. Every individual bacterial
They've
cell.
They've all got a name.
Would have taken about as long as adding all of the people that donated to the Kickstarter, right?
Yeah, that was a week of my life.
To be fair, though, and you know, look, we're getting in the weeds with this Braxton stuff, but watch the movie. But like, you did spend at least a week, probably more than a week, on just one shot of water, right?
Oh, God. I mean, there are some shots in that film that I spent like a month on.
And you didn't put that amount of time into thanking your Kickstarter backers. Wow, man. That's really telling. That really shows me the kind of guy that you are. So the reason that it's called autobrewery syndrome, or whatever it is that I said that it was called, autobrewery syndrome, yeah. It was called that because when it was initially sort of reported on, discovered, whatever, it was thought that it was yeast. And so, oh yeah, yeast, like what we use to make alcohol, like wine and beer and things.
Yep.
We'll call it autobrewery syndrome, right? But now we don't think it's necessarily yeast. Can you guess what we might think it might be? I've probably already said it.
A tiny little man with a big a neck beard in his garden making his own beer and talking about it every time you go around his house for a dinner party.
Luke, I feel like you're drawing from life.
Yeah, that's a guy I know around the corner.
You know, a guy with like a microbrewery,
yeah,
kind of thing.
He's lovely. He's great. I there's no shade on him, but I've never heard someone talk about a brewery they have in their garden before.
Well, it almost probably seems not illegal. Met someone with a brewery in their garden.
Yeah,
right?
It almost seems like they should be taxed. I'm surprised. The government needs to get on that. This government, they've not got much money. They just need to start taxing all the auto brewery people for the alcohol they make in their system and all the guys making little yeast patches in their garden.
There's a joke in there of what you've just said. That funny thing that you've just said, there's a joke in there. You know? You didn't make it.
But the joke? God, please expound. Make my joke for me.
Oh, I don't know, Luke. I'm not really a joke maker, you know? I'm more of just a joke critic, right?
You're a serious guy.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. What I do is I watch jokes,
yeah,
and then I write about jokes.
Uh-huh.
And I myself could never make a joke, but I think myself an expert on all jokes. like all critics, Luke.
Oh, I'm going to hold back on my comments there because I want a career in film.
No, man, look, critics are to take a joke, you know. They know I'm just joshing them.
They know how to take a joke, criticize it, and then write it down in a newspaper.
And there you go. Funding for all future projects immediately cut. Luke Cutforth is a one film wonder, will never make anything. No, so these people, they're not taxed on the breweries in their gut, which, you know, that's a good point, Luke. We should get on that, right? You message, who is it? Who is in the government now?
Kemi Badenoch.
That is like the farthest person from
she's the one who goes, blah, 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 blah. You should be doing this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's like... It's funny, though.
That's leader of the opposition's job, isn't it? Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. You should do this, Steph. Blah, blah, blah.
It's really funny, though, because it's like going into someone's room, completely destroying it, and then standing over their shoulder while they clean it up and being like, nah, man, you're doing that wrong. Sorry, yeah, no, that's not right. No, see that glass that's broken over there? No, you're not sweeping it up properly. Here's how I would do it. And then they describe trashing your room even more.
If you let me do it, I'll do it better than you. But then you won't have a job.
But you messed it up, Luke. You're the one that destroyed it. No, so these people, it's not a little man in their bodies that's doing it. In a way, right? It could be a little man or a little woman or both because it's bacteria and they don't have gender because they're better than us. It's a strain of E. coli or a strain of Klebsiella pneumoniae.
The third gender. We finally found it.
Which one of those two is the third gender? Please explain.
Both. Klebsiomiomiomiae.
That's right. Yep. Klebsiella pneumoniae.
That's the third gender that Joe Biden was talking about.
Joe Biden. Wow. Okay. So you were being so on point.
Yeah, there's this quote where Joe Biden was like asked how many genders there are, and he said there's at least three. And then they said, can you please name them? And he went, shut up. Essentially, he went, hey, don't play games with me, kid.
Or male, something. Female, and neuter. I'm stuck Latin. There's a little Latin joke for you.
Very nice. Very nice.
Bono. It's been too long since I've done Latin, so the closest I can make to a Latin joke is about Latin genders, and I'm going to be honest with you, Luke, I might be forgetting one, but that's unimportant to what we're talking about, which is the science, Luke. It's the science of getting drunk without drinking.
Latin reference for you?
No, say it louder, say it louder.
Calculus est in horto.
Okay. Thank you for waiting.
Did I ever tell you about the time I went to Oxford to the Footlights, and there was a play where the entire punchline for the entire play was "Caecilius est in horto," which is like the most famous Latin phrase that if you learn Latin at school, and it literally divided the room between people who had learned Latin and people who didn't learn Latin.
Yeah, I had the Oxford Latin books in school.
Yeah, most people at Oxford, to be honest, most of them did learn Latin at school. It was just sort of really, really sort of eye-opening in terms of like, oh wow, yeah, like there's, you can have whole jokes that just people aren't part of because of some random bit of education they didn't get, which is really sad. And I felt bad for those people because then they'd sat through a whole play and the whole punchline for the whole play was ruined.
So what you've just done there, my friend, is you've just become a joke critic. Have you seen that?
Maybe I've become a communist.
Luke,
I stumped you there.
I just want to say that I thank you, by the way, for after I had already diverted back to what I was talking about, you came in
just
to talk
one more
about
rediversion. Hang on a second.
Hold on.
Let's not get too far back on track.
Yeah, I mean, we've only been doing this for like 20 minutes, you know? It's not like we both have lives to get to outside of this.
Ah, don't be silly.
No, so these people, right? What was I saying? I was saying that it's the bacteria in their gut. We figured out that there's these two strains of bacteria or two species of bacteria that we think are like most involved in this. A strain of E. coli. And a strain of Klebsiella pneumoniae.
How did they get in there?
They're just there, probably. Or, what? You know, I don't know, man.
Who let you in? Who let you in?
Bacteria are bloody everywhere, aren't they? Like, how does anything get anywhere? It's like, you know, you can have bacteria. So people might be hearing E. coli and being like, ooh, dangerous. But, like, yeah. You can have E. coli in your gut and it not really be a problem. It's not going to be, like, virulent or whatever. It's not going to be, like, pathogenic. It's not gonna harm you. It's just going to be sitting there eating the food that you give it. And just chugging along. And sometimes bacteria decide, I'm going to kill you now. And then they do that.
What the hell, dude?
Yeah, sometimes they're just chilling and then they go postal, man.
So are they in like a balance where they can't quite, they either are happy and they're not like growing too much, or are they like being kept in check by something else?
Yes.
Depends. I guess depends.
Yeah.
Probably both.
Look, there is not a single question you can ask me about biology that I will answer remotely succinctly. The best I can do, like, okay, here is something useful for you and everyone who is watching and or listening. If you ever want to ask a question about biology, I will right now give you the sum average, right, of all answers to any question about biology. Maybe, I guess. That's it.
That's quantum physics as well.
No, quantum physics is yes and no at the same time.
Yes.
Until it's one of them.
I think otherwise translated as maybe.
No, because here's the thing, Luke. And let me quibble with that if I may.
Yeah, go on. Yeah, it's not like you wanted to get back on track, sure.
This is your fault. I would argue that maybe is not yes and no. Maybe is yes or no, right? Whereas with a superposition, as you and I both know, a superposition is not yes or no, it is yes and no.
So maybe's the average of yes and no.
Maybe. No, okay, let's get out of this like heady, you know, like Rick and Morty tier, you know, humor, right? Not everybody has a degree, okay? Not everybody can understand things to the level that we can understand.
yeah, calculus est in horto.
Why Caecilius, really?
Caecilius?
No, I understand Caecilius.
He do be esting in his horto, sir.
No, but for me, it was, there was Quintus, his dad was Flaccus, and he had a mum whose name Scintilla, I guess.
Wow.
And his dog was Argus.
More attention than I did in Latin class.
Argus. Unfortunately, really? My memory, it's incredibly good for things that do not matter. Look, if you want to know the name of a Simpsons episode from seasons 1 to 10, I got you. I got you covered. If you want me to tell you what color the eyes of my of my partner of 8 years are,
yeah,
I'm going to struggle.
Now, I have a different type of memory, but just as useless. I have a memory for things that are very useful, but for people who aren't me.
You're good for that, though. You're really good. You're like, you do this often where you're like, oh, there's this piece of technology that I've never used and have no use for, but you might find it interesting. And I'm like, that solved every problem in my life all at once. Thank you, Luke. Thank you. You're like a genie. You can grant wishes, right?
Yes.
But not for yourself.
It's a tragedy being a genie, exactly. Like, I'm so empty inside for myself, but for everybody else, I've got all the answers.
Also, you sleep in a little oil lamp. I've seen it.
I do, and it's very cramped in there.
Just anything for time away from the wife and kid, you know? Like, you crawl into your little lamp at the end of the night, put the little cap on top, you know?
I've nothing to add to that. Just a perfect description of my life.
No alarm in the morning, right? Your wife just rubs on the edge.
Yeah, the alarm is... That's the alarm. It's quite a horrible alarm, actually. I should really, like, oil the outside of my lamp. But...
Well, no, oil goes on the inside of the lamp, Luke. It is an oil lamp. If it's on the outside...
No,
then
I go on the inside of the lamp. And I go in there and I get the oil and I'm meant to put it on the outside, but I'm too busy granting wishes. Can somebody please wish something for me? Use one of your wishes to do something for me.
Well, so I wish, Luke, that we could get on with this episode. Can you grant that for me?
Your wish is my command. I put my hand
on. Wow, okay. I mean, I feel the need to say that is literally how they voice Kenny in South Park. But my wish was that we carry on with this episode, so you're not to add anything to what I've just said. I'm going to carry on. So yeah, we've spoken about the bacteria that can cause this. I don't know the prevalence of it. I was trying to find how common it is, but it's not very common, I guess. It's underdiagnosed from what I've seemed to have found. There are some comorbidities, diabetes, obesity, which, to be honest, I feel like any time you talk about a comorbidity for something, like obesity pops up. It's like the catch-all. It's like, obesity. If you're obese, you're more likely to get everything. Literally everything, I guess. But diabetes, obesity, and Crohn's disease are comorbidities. So you're more likely to have it if you have those things. Not necessarily, I'm not trying to indicate a causal relationship, but it is more prevalent amongst those groups, is my point.
It might be that they have the same cause. And one cause causes the two things, or the second thing causes the first thing.
Can you list off every possible cause for it? Every permutation of that, please?
That's it. I think that is it.
But so it can be caused by the same thing. One can cause the other.
Yeah.
The other can cause one.
Yeah.
Or they can be entirely unrelated and it's just chance.
But then there wouldn't be a correlation. That'd be too weird.
No, you can have a correlation between things that, like, you know. Oh, I suppose.
Well, you could have a spurious correlation, like gun deaths and swimming pool ownership.
I don't know, though, because maybe rich people get guns to protect their swimming pools.
Famously. That's the official line of the National Rifle Association, isn't it?
Yeah, man. It's a well-organized militia to protect our swimming pools, right? Swimming pools come up a lot in the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, all of those things, man. Like, America was founded... Why do you think the Boston Tea Party happened, huh? Mm-hmm. It wasn't in the Boston River.
They threw all the tea into the river. They threw all into a swimming pool.
Exactly. King George wanted to tax the swimming pools.
We need guns to protect our swimming pools because now they're just big pots of tea. And then they formed the National Rifle Association.
And that is why you learn all of your history from Hamilton, because it is informative, educational, and wholly factual.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And fun as hell.
Mm-hmm. No.
That felt racist, but it wasn't. It was just Hamilton.
No. I mean, Hamilton is like whitewashing, kind of the opposite of whitewashing, but it is whitewashing the the histories of these founding fathers by making them by casting them as really cool guys who aren't white.
Yeah, I mean, it's positive discrimination, really, isn't it?
I cannot tell you how much I overlook when it comes to Obama, because he's a cool black guy.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you know, let him off the hook.
You
he's
get to
so
drone
cool.
so many kids if you're a cool black dude. I'm not going to lie. If you can dap someone up, right, you get at least like 10 drone strikes free of charge.
This is what America needs to do. They've got this sort of willy. They got this. Yeah, he is a bit of a willy. This weird orange guy doing all their bad stuff. Ugh, no one's going to be cool with that. That's not fine.
No, but, no. Orange cool is a bad guy. Color. And to be fair, Donald Trump, he's catty. Okay, he's like a
sassy. He's sassy.
Yeah, like someone was saying the other day that they're like, Donald Trump has to be gay because he's so catty. And just there, I am now never getting into the United States for at least the next 8 years, next 2 terms that he's going to do. But I think that is so true, right? He is a very catty man. And it makes him kind of endearing, but unfortunately, he's orange. If he were black, if Donald Trump were black, I'm not gonna lie to you, I'd support him. I'd be like, yeah, man, you know, black, not black power, Jesus, that's the wrong. But you know, it's like black excellence, right?
Yeah, the peak of black performance.
Dude, that is so insulting to every black. There has literally been a black president, and you're saying that if you. If you blacked up Donald Trump, that would be better than Obama. That's what you've just said.
Was I saying that? I think that might be what you were saying.
No.
I helped you to say it.
I said if Donald Trump was born a beautiful black man,
yes.
I could not help but support him, you know? Whereas okay. I'm certain, correct me if I'm wrong, Luke, but I could have sworn I'd heard you say quite explicitly that you wanted to see Donald Trump blacked up.
Well, I said that off camera, Corey. You weren't meant to bring that up.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's a podcast faux pas. It's bringing a fetish up something
of mine,
off my.
No, it's just one of my. It's just a dream I have, and you know, everyone's allowed a dream. That's my version of the Martin Luther King speech.
I have a dream that one day a horrible racist will black up, and I'll get rock hard.
Yes, please.
Oh, dearie me. Okay, so we're bringing it back to the very serious case of auto brewery syndrome.
I said that book. Well, carry on.
No. Say it louder. Say it for the
it
class.
It sounded like a book. Serious case of auto brewery syndrome.
Yeah, I really, really regret having you speak up. Honestly, yeah, that deserved to...
I promised to be quiet. No, okay. I'll be quiet.
Yeah, thank you. No, so auto brewery syndrome, underdiagnosed. We've already spoken about the sort of comorbidities. I've mentioned that it was found in the oral cavity and in the urinary bladder, one case of each, to my knowledge.
The urinary bladder. Is there a different one? Oh, a gall. The gall. That's where I keep all my gall. Anyway, carry on. That's where the gall is made. Pee's made in the balls. Gall's made in the gallbladder.
I think the galls were made in France, actually, Luke.
I don't know what that means.
Gulls, come
but
on.
Good joke. Seagulls.
No, gulls. Asterix and Obelix, you know?
I wasn't into that. My friends were into that.
Did you not study classic? I only found out about Asterix
you meant
and Obelix
like
because
the
of.
Cartoon.
No, the cartoon. I had to watch it in Latin.
Honestly, I didn't pay any attention in history because I had the most boring history teacher imaginable.
Oh, no. This isn't history. This is classics, which is like history, but somehow more. Upper class?
I didn't do classics. I chose something else. They had it at my school, but I went, nah.
What did you choose instead?
I think Latin.
Nah, classics. No. I'm going to do classics, but I don't understand what they're saying.
I want to learn Greek as well. just Latin for me, please. Thank you. That's enough. Caecilius is in Horto.
No, but classics is genuinely just like Latin on easy mode, in my experience, because they translated everything for you already. You don't have to do any of the work, right? The real people do Latin and ancient Greek as I did, Luke. Mm-hmm. Instead of going to gym class in my last year of school, I was sitting in the classroom learning ancient Greek, okay? And then these people that study classics come along and they look at all of my work and they're like, the Greeks were gay, I think. Hate them.
The Greeks were so gay.
You were saying about your history teacher, though. Boring?
The one thing I remember about this guy is he had a stride length of literally like 2 meters, but he wasn't a tall guy. And he had like trousers that were really short. So every time he walked, so he would sort of like bob up and down, if you can imagine it. He was like a normal height guy, but that he would walk with the biggest stride possible, which meant he bobbed up and down all the time. And he also wore trousers that weren't long enough, so his ankles were on show all the time. Very distracting.
Was he a Monty Python sketch character?
Yeah, literally, yeah. He literally, like a silly walk, like sketch guy.
You were taught by Terry Gilliam,
and he
right?
had like tufts of grey hair on either side of his head. He literally just like a character, but also just the most boring guy you could ever meet. I mean, to be
that
fair.
That is fully a Monty Python sketch where you see this like incredibly like strange looking man, like crazy walk, all of this stuff. And then he just starts talking and it is the
And
most.
He's just boring as hell. He's like, he's put all of his character into visuals and he's not done any character development beyond that.
Okay, call up John Cleese, all right? We're bringing them back, okay? Monty Python is making a return, okay? Because we have just come up with the peak Monty Python.
I mean, this guy was probably 65 when he was teaching me, so he might be dead now.
Well, we're not going to cast him in it.
Oh, okay.
We're going to cast your... No, you don't cast the person that you're making fun of with the sketch, Luke. That's,
I think you
that's
should,
cruel.
But you never tell them. You're just like, oh, you're such a good casting for this role. But then you're just like, ha ha ha.
That is
you.
Literally also a Monty Python sketch, I'm pretty sure. No,
I should write something.
Yeah, I mean, you probably should, right? I mean, like, get on it, mate. Like, I met Terry Gilliam the other day. And I've been
why?
Why? Because I'm a modern girl in a modern world. I'm very cosmopolitan. Okay,
oh, yeah. So cosmopolitan. You met Terry Gilliam.
I go to events, Luke. Okay, I rub elbows, brush shoulders with
sweaty
the
sweaty elbow rub with Terry Gilliam.
With you are getting his name more and more incorrect the more times you say it. But
Terry
no,
Gilliam.
Luke. Yeah. I meet lots of people. You know.
Okay.
You know, like I was gonna say bumping uglies with the best of them, but that's not true. I did not have sex with Terry Gilliam.
to clarify, Your Honor.
No matter what he tried, I was like, not tonight, buddy.
You turned him down.
No, I did actually. So this is so
what?
I was at a,
you did actually what?
No, I was at a screening, okay. Uh-huh. Sometimes yeah. for some godforsaken reason, people think that it is a good idea to invite me to film screenings. I love that, okay?
Yeah.
I love movies. Please invite me to film screenings. There was this old man at the...
He played one. He played Knick Knack on My Thumb.
Thank
sorry,
you for,
I've
got, thank
I've
you
listened
for that.
To too many nursery rhymes. I'm so sorry. It's automatic.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so there yeah. was this old man...
How many did he play?
So there was this old man on the end of the aisle, right?
I don't remember that one.
And
okay.
I wanted to get to the seats towards the middle, right? Because
yeah.
those were the seats that were available.
And you kicked him in the face. And then he went, I'm Terry Gilliam. Sorry, Terry Gilliam.
His name is Terry Gilliam. Do you know that? Do
no.
you know that he's...
I've only ever heard it said out loud. I've never seen it written down.
Because I keep on hearing an extra G in there. And
yeah.
I'm curious as to whether... like, okay, Terry Gilliam, right? So let me start my story from the beginning.
You have the floor.
I was at a screening, Luke. And I see this old...
Who was that?
I was at a screening and I saw an old man at the end of the aisle. I walk up and I'm like, sorry, old man, can you get out of my way, please? And he kind of moves a little bit. He has this weird vibe, right? He's very like sort of amicable. He's very kind sort of vibe. But he's also not getting out of the way very quickly. He kind of moves a little bit. He's talking to someone. I've interrupted, whatever. And then I just kind of, I don't shove past him. You know, I'm not a rude person, Luke. I'm very kind and forgiving and all around, you know, like a saint. I think I'd say a saint.
I love how you went on a little tangent there just to compliment yourself, even though being forgiving was nothing to do with it.
Well, you know, I just want to paint a picture, Luke. You know, you've got to fill in.
So pretext to this story, I'm amazing. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. So, where was I? Forgiving, attractive,
lovely, sexy.
Yeah. All of the above.
Yeah.
And so I very graciously barged him out of the way just a touch.
That's
just a little bit, just to show him who was boss. He's mm-hmm. old, right? It like lions, right? When there was an old mm-hmm. lion in the pride, the younger lions kind of force him out because you know he's old and it's not his place anymore. And so I was just doing that in a very kind, gracious, and overall attractive way.
yeah,
and. And then a guy that's like kind of with me, he leans over, he's like, I think that's Terry Gilliam. And I'm like, oh for fuck's sake. I'm like, oh no, I've just been like, I wasn't actually rude, but I was like, I just walked past Terry Gilliam, who was more than ready to have a conversation with me. Right, he was like very ready. Like that's why he was taking so long to get out of the way, because
a fan.
I think he was thinking that, and then I was like, look, I wouldn't be able to recognize Terry Gilliam. He looks old now, you know. He looks different. Old men don't look the same as young men.
They all looked old when they were in films. I feel like they looked old to begin with, all of them.
No, he looks different, I think. You've not seen Terry Gilliam like I've seen him up close, okay? The cameras do a lot. No, I don't want to be mean about Terry Gilliam. He's a nice old man. No, okay, so someone is like, oh, that's Terry Gilliam. I'm like, oh my God, that's why he was being so nice and friendly and trying to have a conversation, because he thought I was coming up to have a conversation, but I just wanted to get past and sit down. But look, you know, no, I was, it had been a whole ordeal to sit down, and I just wanted to find the seat and just get sat down, and so I didn't want to talk to some old man. My friend, though, that was with me, sat and spoke to him like the whole night, and then like they were speaking to him afterwards, and then I'm kind of like hovering, because I was by myself at that point, because my plus one had decided to go to the toilet rudely afterwards, leaving me alone whilst people are milling about. You know, I don't like that, by the way. You know, if you're a plus one, you gotta be next to me at all times,
constant wingman.
Yeah, so I look like I'm like I have an entourage, you know.
Yeah, like it's an unspoken contract, isn't it? It's very much like, you're here to make me look good, I'm not just being nice to you.
If by unspoken you mean written and notarized, yes, I do. I do make all plus ones sign a very serious contract.
Well, then you should sue for breach of contract.
Yeah, I tried to do that, but it was thrown out of court. Apparently, I've done it too many times. Too many times.
Is that how the law works?
Oh, no. When I say too many times, I mean I have tried to do this too many times, and every single time it has failed. Apparently, these contracts are not legally binding. Regardless, I did, like, so they were talking to Terry Gilliam, and then he kind of goes away, and he just... Waterloo area, the IMAX, the BFI IMAX, right? I don't know if you've been to the BFI IMAX, Luke. Do you like film?
Yeah. Do I like film?
Do you engage in cinema?
Oh yeah, I've been known to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I'm feeling charitable.
What, you take all the orphans out to the cinema for their one Christmas treat?
Come on, let's go. Thank you, Mr. Catforth. Thank you. Thank you for letting us come out for get a little bit of sun.
I'm picturing Victorians, by the way. These aren't modern orphans. These are Victorian orphans.
Exclusively Victorian orphans.
They're the only orphans that exist,
who
honestly.
Who else is looking out for them? You know, there's all these orphan charities. None of them are Victorian orphan charities, except for mine.
I would care more about orphans. I am saying this here.
What a sentence! I would care more about orphans.
If.
Yeah.
They committed to the little chimney sweep bit, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And they had names like, okay, Tiny, I was going to say Patches, but I know that Patches is the name of that Victorian orphan from The Simpsons. If all Victorian orphans were named, like, Patches or whatever... Yeah. I'd care more about them.
They need to work on their brand, is what you're saying.
Orphans, honestly, give me a call. I know some excellent PR people who really turn this whole thing around. You know, I imagine their email
not
addresses.
Not in the way they want, no. in some way.
We're not bringing your parents back. That's the first thing. That's not happening. You're not getting adopted, but you might get a little musical out of it.
Oh.
Little Orphan Annie.
I was thinking about Tracy Beaker.
You could have gone Oliver as well. That's another one. And Tracy Beaker isn't an orphan.
Well.
No, she's just been a... She'd been abandoned?
What's the difference when your mum's that much of a prick?
So back to Terry Gilliam. We're at the BFI IMAX and he's walking to leave. And instead of taking one of the sort of subway routes up to the street, he just goes down an alleyway. Literally just down an alleyway.
Firstly, imagine recognizing him when you see him, unlike you did. But then you turn a corner and it's just like, it's just a bit shadowy. You peer down, is it safe? Who's in there? And it's one of Monty Python.
Careful, kids. don't go down dark alleyways at night.
Which one is it? Oh, well, no, there's always one. There's always one looming down the alley, but you have to check which one it is.
But he just wandered down an alleyway, and then we were like, we waited a couple of minutes. We were like, he didn't come back, right? We were like, I don't think that's a through route. We've just, and it's Terry Gilliam. I'm not, like, I
it's
don't
a dead
want...
end alleyway.
Well, we thought. I don't know.
Maybe that's where he lives. It's just like a little hovel.
Times have gotten really tough. He is now sleeping in one of those big bins outside to be at fire. I don't even know if he was invited to the screening, Luke. I think he might have just wandered his way in. No, look, he's nice, and I don't.
I was in Monty Python. Okay, sir, come on in. Just get him to shut up. Let him in.
If you're cold, he's cold. Let him in. I don't want to be libelous or slanderous towards Terry Gilliam. He was genuinely a nice person. From what I've heard, I didn't get to speak to him because I snubbed him. But we saw him walk down this alleyway, and then we waited a couple minutes. So he didn't come back out, and we're like, okay, we need to, like, and this was independently, you know, they were like, they said bye to me, and then I was like, bye, and then I was like, I should probably go check on Terry Gilliam, and then we kind of converged this alleyway and realized that the three of us had independently decided we don't want to be responsible for a headline of Terry Gilliam found dead in alleyway, so right. We were like, let's go and make sure that this man is gone the right way, and
yeah,
he's probably fully sound of mind. Again, as I said, I would not know. I snubbed him. But no, it was a through route and he left. So that's the end of the story. It's like a horror story.
The idea that he was just trying to get away from you, and he took it like walking into a cupboard, essentially, like taking the first door to get away, and you're in a broom cupboard.
you go to follow him, and you're like,
"This is an alleyway with a dead end."
He just nose to nose,
wait down there, like God. And then they're all discussing at the entrance. Should we go check on Terry Gilliam? Maybe, you know, he's a slightly older guy. Maybe he's had a heart attack down the alleyway, and you're just like, "For God's sake, go away! I'm trying to get away from you."
In the Monty Python group chat, being like, "These guys won't leave me alone." No. But Terry Gilliam seems a nice man. So anything that we've said today that could be construed as negative is a joke.
And he also didn't proposition you for sex.
Well, no, look, let's not. Let's not take it too far, okay?
I think I'd like
the truth
to
is the truth.
That.
The facts are the facts, okay? I can't help that I'm magnetic and I have a sort of, I guess you could say, chemistry with everyone I meet. I wouldn't. I've never said that myself, of course. I'm merely quoting the many, many people that have, of course, said that to me post-coitus. gosh. Look, I think I hear something.
It's the tinnitus. It's back again.
No, I don't know if it's that. I think it's an ad. Ding-a-ling-ling? Is that the ad bell?
Oh, God, yes. I guess it is. My head is so sore.
Well, look, your head will stop hurting if people go to our Patreon and sign up to our Patreon and do that. And also maybe buy some of our merch at sciguys.co.uk and then click on the... Everything's there, man. People say it's an ugly website. You know, people have messaged me. Someone sent an email saying, your website sucks, let me fix it for you. And I was like, I made that website. And yes, it sucks, but I don't want you to fix it for me now. So you guys go to the poorly made website that is terrible, awful UI, and somehow stumble your way towards our merch store or our Patreon and
which
give
much,
us money.
Much better website, the merch store.
Well,
I don't know, man.
Look, they both need a bit of polish, and I promise, I shouldn't say that because we might get in trouble, but I will say it regardless. I promise that we will put every single penny towards fixing up those websites. And when I say every single penny, I mean if you literally send us pennies in the post, I will put those to it. But the money you give us on Patreon, that's going to us.
Yeah, it just buys us food. So in summary, go check out those really crap websites. Sciguys.co.uk.
No, it goes into the podcast. It goes into the podcast. They'll believe that it just buys us food, Luke. It goes into the podcast.
I spend mine on drugs.
It doesn't do them.
Legal ones. He has a collection. Ones from the NHS. They're still drugs.
Every month, you're paying £10.
And if people don't go to the Patreon, I don't get my medication.
And that's why he's like this, man. That is why he is like this. Please, for the love of God, help us afford his medication. Like, we're saving up to get him put down, but like, we're just not there yet, man.
Back to the show.
But for how long, Luke? For how long? So, Luke, autobrewery syndrome. We've discussed what it is. We've discussed that we don't know how prevalent it is. How do you think it's diagnosed?
I'm guessing, you say it's underdiagnosed, so it can't be in most people so massive that literally you're just drunk all the time. I would guess that what happens is either, yeah, maybe you are like a little bit drunk all the time, and so you're like, what the hell's going on? And you go to the doctor, and they check your levels of alcohol. They tell you not to drink any alcohol. They check your levels of alcohol, and then maybe they do a breathalyzer test on you and they're like, it looks like you're drunk, but you've not drunk anything. Wow. Or you get like a, you get stopped by the police and they're like, breathalyze. And you're like, I didn't do it, sir. And they're like, And then they're like, okay, there's this one edge case where that might be the case. And then they send you to a doctor and the doctor's like, you're off the hook.
The police knowing about one edge case where it might be the case and deciding not to prosecute, but instead sending
you
to a doctor.
Your lawyer finds out about this and goes, if you can afford your lawyer, then your lawyer gets you off the hook.
The world that you live in is borderline utopic, shall we say.
What, where stuff just works the way it should work?
Yeah, I want to live in that world that's inside your head, man. Everyone is nice. Everything works. The police aren't evil. You know, it's a great place up there. In the real world, no, it's actually really difficult to diagnose because, well, all of the things that you said don't work as easily as you said them. Primarily because people can just drink alcohol whenever they want. And you can't really tell the difference, right, between someone who has had alcohol to drink and it's gotten into their system and someone who has produced alcohol in their system and it's stayed in their system.
But you could voluntarily agree to put yourself in a cage and then people prod you and go, don't drink. And then you don't because you're in a cage and then they measure your blood glucose, your blood alcohol level, and it's still elevated.
I don't care what you do on your own time, Luke, but let's not bring it to the podcast, please.
My okay? Second kink. Being observed by scientists in a confined area.
I love being a subject, yes. Ooh, poke me, daddy, please. Prod me.
Yeah, it's like a sort of Munchausen syndrome, different version of that. Munchausen syndrome, Munchkin syndrome.
Oh, goodness me. So, Luke, no, it is difficult to diagnose, basically because you'd need to have blood alcohol testing, but it needs to be supervised to make sure that you aren't drinking. There's no other, there's nothing else that you're consuming that could be causing it. Mm. And obviously, that's not super easy to do all the time. It needs, there are like resources needed for it, right? Like, you can have a sleep study, but having a study where it's like, okay, let's just stay here and we'll test your blood alcohol and you don't drink for however long, that's hard to do, right? Because it need to be over probably a couple days, right?
Like, yeah,
depending on how much booze is in your system. I don't know. Treatment is essentially the same. If you've got a high blood alcohol content, you're treated essentially for acute alcohol poisoning. And that, whoa, depends on how, I mean, obviously, like if you've produced a lot of alcohol, like it's the equivalent of drinking a lot all at once. So it is essentially alcohol poisoning, right? Drug therapy. So if you find out what kind of yeast or bacteria is causing it, you can treat like that. Essentially, like try and get rid of those. What they call antibiotics can be used in some cases. Changing your diet, reducing carbs, so that
stop eating so much Marmite.
Would you like to explain why the joke that you've just made isn't scientifically accurate, please?
Oh, I think it is, because it's yeast. Oh, it's not a live yeast though. It's the extract from the yeast. I did it. I did a science. I figured it out.
And now the podcast can end. Lucas said one thing that is worthwhile. And we've done it. That was the goal,
isn't it? It's just, we're all just waiting for me to say something that's not nonsense.
Look, that was the goal when we set out. Honestly, we said, look, when will we know that we've jumped the shark? And we all sat down and agreed it was when Luke says something remotely useful.
It wasn't that bit where I compared this quite debilitating condition to having a random orgasm all day?
That was close. That was really, really, really close.
But it didn't quite come. Yeah.
So close.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, that was a bit of an anticlimax, wasn't it? Anyway, you can treat it with all of these sort of changing your diet, right? Reducing carbs as well, reducing sugar sort of stuff. Basically, not feeding the fermentation in your gut. It's not like necessarily a constant thing. You can have flare ups as the colonies increase in sort of number. You can, as I've said, you can have antibiotics. There's a few different things. You can also, interestingly, we've spoken about this before, you can eat shit.
Eat shit or boof shit?
No, Luke, you can eat shit.
Okay, so this is where you have a fecal transplant.
That is possible, but sorry, I was taking an aside saying, Luke, you can eat shit.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. And on the topic of fecal transplants, that's presumably one of the treatments, is you replace your gut microbiome, or like supplement your gut microbiome with somebody else's gut microbiome by, as you put it, eating their shit.
Yeah. Luke, can we not use that kind of language on the podcast. It's quite foul.
My apologies.
Fecal transplants are a serious thing, and I again, you've made light of some serious conditions.
What's wrong with
serious
me?
Treatments. And yeah. This is not the podcast for it. Look, if you want to be funny, go somewhere else, okay? But
okay.
We're talking about some serious stuff here.
Mm.
Anyway, so once you put the poop up your bum...
So you do boof the shit. You don't eat the shit.
Well, I don't personally do that, Luke. Not personally.
One eats the shit. One doesn't eat the shit. One boofs the shit.
It's like you're saying, like a friend of mine.
You know? Yeah, someone who isn't me. You know, I wouldn't do this, but
one can do that if one finds oneself with Otto Brewery syndrome.
An excess of shit.
No, that would be the exact opposite. If you have too much already. You don't. Oh, right. You mean one owns.
Yeah,
too
one
much,
has
not,
too much. And you're like, what am I going to do with all this stuff? I might as well put it on my bum, right? We've all been there.
This is why I never want to join you for spring cleaning. You've invited me several times and it always ends the same way with a trip to A&E because you've got something stuck up there.
Yeah, I pick up my possessions and I go, does it bring me joy? If yes, I keep it. If no, shove it up my bum.
And then it definitely brings you joy. No, so the study that I wanted to talk about, and to be honest, we've taken so bloody long at this point. The study that I wanted to talk about, it's called Gut Microbial Ethanol Metabolism Contributes to Otto Brewery Syndrome in an Observational Cohort. It was published on the 7th of January, 2026, so we're very up to date here. Yeah, man, it's brand new. Like, I mean, it published online on the 8th of January, and we're recording this before the end of January. No idea when this episode's coming out, but...
Hello from the past!
Ooh, time travel!
It's not as impressive time travel when it's that way, is it?
No, that's kind of a very basic time travel. And it's interesting that you say that. I watched a movie recently that I told you to watch, and I know that you haven't because you hate me. Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes. So if anybody who's watching or listening wants to
that's
show
what
that they...
Corey calls having sex with Corey.
Just because it lasts for 2 minutes, but it feels like it takes forever, it doesn't mean that it's okay to make that joke, man. It's not okay.
It's infinite. It's an infinite 2 minutes.
Look, time spent with a loved one, okay? Time spent with a loved one can feel eternal. When you truly have a connection. And what is sex about?
I've never heard Corey talk like this before in my life.
What is? Because we've never made love. Luke, we've only ever had sex, okay? Dirty, disgusting sex.
Rutting, yeah.
Yeah, yeah? We've never made love,
yeah,
okay?
So,
and that's on you, man. You never want to connect.
I never look you in the eye.
that's true. And I've been working on my yoga so that I can turn around and look you straight in the eye, and you're always looking away.
It's a bit of a turn off when you start becoming a contortionist, I've got to say.
Well, you said you liked The Thing, Luke, okay? And I did my damnedest to make that come to life for you, but...
I was talking about the movie, The Thing.
Oh!
That's what I get off to.
Right,
come on,
I see.
Keep up.
Okay, I thought you wanted to do the... Anyways, we'll talk about this in couples therapy later, okay? But for now... Let's get back to this. I don't even remember the tangent that we were going on. I'm just going to bring it back. Oh, no. Beyond the Infinite 2 Minutes. It was not sex with me. It was far more enjoyable. It was a movie that I saw on Prime. video.
That does sound like a better time, yeah.
Yeah. So it was this movie. You can probably get it somewhere else, but it's this Japanese movie from 2021. Shot to look like it's in one take. It's actually about that, about like being able, it was a guy who's able to look sort of 2 minutes into the future and then what kind of the hijinks and whatnot that come from that. And it is micro budget, like I was telling you, like 300,000 yen, 3 million yen or something, I don't know, like very cheap, but cheaply made, and I don't say that as an insult, but
I don't have any yen, so you know, more yen than I've got.
Yes, that's very true, Luke. But you have all of your money wrapped up in cryptocurrency, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Luke coin, dropping soon.
No, it's all in Trump coin and Melania coin. That's what I'm in. All in.
Oh my God, use our sign-up code now to... No, but if you want to show that you care for me more than Luke does, you can go and watch that movie and tell us what you thought. And really just rub it in that, you know, you... spent an hour and 10 minutes enjoying something that I so graciously gifted to you. Anyways, this study, Luke, if I can just bring myself, you know, hold myself together for the rest of this. This study, they screened 91 people And ended up with 22 people who were diagnosed with ABS, 21 who were unaffected household partners, and 22 healthy control participants.
To be clear, those 22, that's not just like loads of us have got this and we don't know it. Or is it that they kind of had an inkling that those 22 had it before?
Yeah, no. They screened 91 people, 48 who were patients who had reported symptoms of ABS.
Okay.
43 household partners, which means that like of five of the people, either they didn't have household partners or they didn't want to take part. But I like to I like to picture this as five like lonely singles who were feeling all
drunk.
You're making light of this again, Luke. People can lose jobs, okay? Because they're drunk all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And it's really, and like, I'm saying this from experience, like, it's really hard to, you know, to get away with having ABS, especially when you're lying about it, okay? they never believed me, okay? And maybe it was because I had mojitos in my water bottle, okay? Maybe it was because I had a bottle of vodka in my desk. Maybe it's because I took a dump on my boss's... face. No.
You were just trying to give him a fecal transplant, weren't you?
I was trying to help, okay? He was always drunk as well. I thought it was doing the right thing. No,
It's so blurry, the line between right and wrong, isn't it?
Look, I don't think there is a line between right and wrong. I think there's what I do and what I don't do. And that's
the literally line. What Donald Trump said like 2 days ago.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Like pretty much exactly that.
I want to be very clear. I genuinely did not hear that man say that. So I guess that's just great minds, you know, coming together. Me, like black men, really, you know.
Just two black men.
Yeah, two black men, visionaries, minds, once in a generation genius, right? Both of us coming together, sort of, what is it? Convergent thought. Mm. And that's beautiful, you know, black excellence. What is funny about black excellence to you, Luke? What is funny about me saying that Donald Trump and I have many shared qualities, including being black and being geniuses?
There's nothing funny about that, Corey.
Thank you.
That's a perfectly humorless statement.
Control yourself, please. So 22 people were diagnosed with ABS, 21 unaffected household partners, 22 healthy control participants. They basically looked at the makeup and activity of gut microbes across these groups to identify meaningful differences. Direct quote, links in the description for all of the things that are there. I'm going to give you another quote. This is just from the abstract, and then you can try and translate it into... not nerd speak.
My favorite bit.
Gut microbiome analysis using metagenomics revealed an enrichment of proteobacteria, including Escherichia coli, E. coli, and Klebsiella pneumoniae, genes in metabolic pathways associated with ethanol production were enriched, including the mixed acid fermentation pathway, heterolactic fermentation pathway, and ethanolamine utilization pathway. Fecal metabolomics revealed increased acetate levels associated with ABS, which correlated with blood alcohol concentrations. Now, I read that perfectly, Luke. No flubs, no mistakes.
Yeah.
Perfectly as written. Can you now translate that into layman's speak? Let me enunciate it more correctly. Layman's speak.
That's how the world's divided. There's lame guys and there's nerds. you just have to pick which one you want to be. So I think, going off memory, I think it's something like, we tested the DNA of a bunch of microbes and we found like E. coli, these other things, and in those genomes we found that there were genes associated with ethanol production that were raised in those samples, and we did that by testing their shit, and when we tested their shit we found that there was heightened something that correlates with ethanol content in the shit
again. Yeah. I switched off.
Nailed that.
I switched off. I feel like when you talk for a while, I just get distracted, and it's not ADHD. Honestly, that feels different. This is a specific thing I have with you. I think my brain hears you talking, and it's like, okay, cool, time to rest.
I think I nailed that.
I mean, you did.
Well, I mean, don't assume, but like, I think that was probably roughly what it said.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, I was listening to you. I was hanging off of every single word. Your voice is like honey to me.
Say it with a little bit of feeling, Corey.
I was saying it with that was genuine.
That's you passionate, isn't it?
I'd
hate to hear you bored.
You've heard me bored lots of times, Luke, for 2 minutes at a time. That's why it lasts forever. No, you know. Your voice is like honey to me.
Time flies when you're not having fun.
Yeah, but when Wait, what? No. Your voice is like honey to me, and I was hanging off of every word, and I simply adore you.
Okay, I'm uncomfortable now.
That's exactly what I wanted. Yes, good. No, so the gut might, basically, they looked at the sort of microbes in their gut by taking sort of all the genetic stuff that was in there and just figuring out what like sort of strains of bacteria there were and like what levels they were from like the sort of genetic material that they'd got. They found those two sort of species that I'd mentioned earlier, E. coli and the other one. I'm going to be honest with you here. Saying E. coli is a lot easier than that. There are two H's in... I should know how to say this, right? I should know how to... I studied biotechnology. I've read this word many a time. I know it, right? But pronouncing it, my mouth never wants to cooperate. Escherichia... coli. E. coli, right? They found that.
Yeah, you nailed that.
Yeah?
You nailed that.
Thank you, Luke. Do you want to give it a go? Perfect.
Oh, E. coli.
Like the angels themselves are singing to me, Luke. I can listen to you.
Whoever chose that name needs to answer some questions.
I know, right?
Like, I get giving it Latin names, whatever. It's a language, so it doesn't change meaning, whatever. But just,
it's a language, so it doesn't change. What?
It's a dead language, so it doesn't meaning. Yeah. But like, surely you should pick another word. Where's the Caecilia Sessin Horto genome bacteria? That's a good one.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Thank
like
you, buddy.
Spell.
So I'm going to carry on. Yeah, they were looking at sort of flares as well, as in like a flare-ups. So they defined a flare-up or a flare as where patients had symptoms of intoxication or had a detectable blood alcohol level. Remission was no symptoms or no detectable sort of blood alcohol levels for at least a week. Five people didn't develop a flare during the duration of the study. If you want the average blood alcohol concentration level measured, that was using a breathalyzer whilst they were collecting the stool samples. Not whilst, as in like they were collecting the stool samples and they were breathalyzing at the same time. No, I mean, let me just read this quote out, right? The average blood alcohol concentration measured using a breathalyzer during the collection of stool samples during a flare was 136 milligrams per deciliter. I've copied and pasted that quote, and it did not like any of the units. And do you know what, Luke? Let's just say 136, no units.
136 of whatever it is measured when
136
you do that
somethings.
Thing.
Exactly. Yes, 136 of
is that
something.
High? Maybe.
Well, that was above the U.S. legal driving limit of 80 something.
These guys are drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Actually, wow, that is way higher. So fecal transplant as well, Luke. One of the people had a fecal transplant. What do you think happened with this person that had a fecal transplant during the study?
I would guess that they got better.
Yeah, so...
Hooray! Shit works.
No, buddy. No. That's just for you.
I knew it. This is what I've been saying all this time. No one believed me.
Look, I know that you really like it, okay? And I know that it's what keeps you going through those long days with
the
your
long winter
horrid
months.
Daughter. But, sorry, I'm getting you excited,
yeah,
right? You're like,
ooh. Yes, please.
For you, that's like a soft serve ice cream machine, right? You hold the lever at the front, you crank it down, yeah. until the lovely chocolate ice cream comes pouring out of that hole.
Oh, I'm getting... Oh, no, I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
No, say it.
Getting two girls, one cup flashbacks from my childhood. Oh, gosh.
I don't think the children are being... I think this is the issue with the youth of today, Luke, if I may. May I get up on my soapbox? And
you may.
Thank you. Thank you for the permission, Master.
Daddy, thank you.
Couples therapy, Luke. Couples therapy, okay? Dr. Miskevian said not to bring it into the podcast, okay? said it's for us, and here you are doing it. Okay, but
that's not the mysterious man, Dr. Musgivian.
Well, first of all, she's a woman.
Oh,
which,
sorry for assuming.
Well, yeah, you've met her several times, and you continue to assume that she's a man just because she has a strong brow and a very healthy mustache does not mean. Anyways, look, moving away from our relationship troubles, I guess, I don't remember what I was going to mention or talk about. So back to our relationship troubles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you were going to talk about Two Girls, One Cup.
Oh, yes, my soapbox.
I wouldn't want to tear you away from that topic, Corey.
No, thank you. Because here's the thing. Obviously, we hate children of today, right? Youths are terrible.
It goes without saying, but, say it anyway.
And no, but this is the thing. And people say, as you get older, the people that are younger seem worse to you because, you're growing up and it's all from your perspective. And I just simply do not agree with that. I think that's fake. I think that's a lie. I think the problem is that we are good and the younger people are worse. And I've pinpointed the exact reason why younger people today are bad and make me feel not good.
They're just lack of exposure to Two Girls, One Cup.
Yes, look, all of the horrible things that the children are exposed to today are happening in the real world, right? You see all of these horrors in the news and whatnot. Now, when we were younger, Luke, we only had about one or two horrors every few years, right? 2001, we had a horror. Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
Premiered. Didn't make enough at the box office. That really shook me. That was hard.
Trauma dump.
Yeah, dude. It's just, they put so much work into that movie and it just didn't, it didn't.
It's okay, Corey. It's a safe place.
Yeah. It's hard. I think back to it. So 2001, that happened, of course.
And then, yeah.
A few years later, things happen. There was a market crash or whatever. I don't really know. People lost houses, things like that, right? There was only one or two horrible things every few years. And so how we were traumatized was through videos on the internet of weird stuff, right? Mm. Like Two Girls, One Cup. One man, one jar. One man, one horse, right?
Excuse me, what was One Man, One Horse? I didn't see that one.
I mean, do I need to explain One Man, One Horse? I feel like it's the title is evident.
I think I saw one called One Woman, One Horse. I don't know about One Man, One Horse.
No, he died, I think. At least that's what I was told. This could be like a schoolyard rumor, though. And that was the other thing, Back in the day, when you wanted to get misinformed about something, you would just go to the playground and you'd be told on. Nowadays, kids are getting misinformed from TikTok and YouTube videos about auto brewery syndrome, right? Like they're being misinformed from every angle.
You're not even getting any human connection when you're traumatized for life.
Exactly, right? So I feel like the trauma brought us together because we could inflict it on each other. We could choose when to show a friend Two Girls, One Cup. We could choose when to show a friend the Pain Olympics, but we can't choose when to see all this horrible news happening today. And
just
that's
to be
why
clear,
world
please
peace.
Don't Google any of these things if you don't know what they are.
No, do it.
No. Like, I know that it's funny. I promise you, it is not worth it. Like, I can tell you from personal experience, it is not worth it.
Look, how should I do it? It made us the men that we are today.
Yeah, broken.
And so take from that what you will. And you make your own choices. But no, I just think that kids nowadays aren't being traumatized in the right way. And so world peace, followed by an increase of horrible, disgusting videos on the internet. And that way we can control it, right? We can control when and how we traumatize our kids.
You sound like an old man. Like all the old men of our generation were going, you weren't traumatized the way I was with World War. And now you're saying you weren't traumatized the way I was with Two Girls, One Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
You've reached peak old man, Corey. Well
and look, there's a reason that we have old men running pretty much every country. It's because they do a good job. I'm pro old man, Luke. I don't care about the party, okay? I don't care about the ideology. If I see an old man on the ballot box, I'm putting a cross in that. Yeah, back to the fecal transplant. There was a difference in their presentation of it. I'm just saying words. Their symptoms improved. Those were the words that I was looking for, and now I have said them. Their symptoms improved.
I'm guessing this is the reason why they had the partners in was to check if it like transferred through kissing or like proximity. or anything else? Christ. Eating each other's ass?
I think the reason that... Wow. Oh, just that just hit...
surely that's like... That's a fecal transplant, essentially.
Look, it's more complex than that. Fecal transplant, again, it's not just eating it. It's putting it in there. And eating it is probably not the best way to do that, because to get to the parts of your gut you want it to get to, it has to go through the acid of your stomach.
So it needs to be bum scissoring.
Luke, that's just called scissoring, okay?
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, you can.
I've never heard of bum scissoring, personally.
Well, Luke, you've clearly, like, this is, again, I'm going to bring it up with Dr. Miskevian, but it's a real bloody problem, because I keep on trying to initiate bum scissoring with you. Scissoring, sorry. I keep on trying to initiate the scissoring, and you never reciprocate, okay?
My husband just won't bum scissor with me anymore.
You know, we used to scissor every day with our bums, every single day.
You used to scissor with your bum. Labor, I need some love.
And now we are...
Your bum, bum.
This is the second time, by the way, that you've sung a copyrighted song, which, thank God...
That's not copyright. I'm copyrighting scissor with your bum bum. Thank you very much.
The tune, Luke, the tune is the problem.
Well, but, I'll see them in court. That would be a great day in court when we have to hit play. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, please, Exhibit A, you used to scissor with your bum bum. Now, is that anything like this song?
I think we'd automatically win in a court case against Drake, because
we're not Drake.
He's kind of a loser. Do you know what I mean? Like, he has loser vibes. No, I won't say that about Drake. He's an upstanding gentleman who happens to be a nonce. That's his own business. And so I'll cut that out. And if anyone is hearing this, then I forgot to cut it out. But that's just the way of the world. Whoops. So they did a fecal transplant. They had a second fecal transplant, and they used a different antibiotic treatment. And that patient remained symptom-free for 16 months. You mentioned, though, having the partners in. I think another reason for having the partners in, less to see if it's transferred through kissing or, as you so crudely put it, bum scissoring.
To find out if they're attracted to each other because they both have alcohol syndrome. Yes.
More so that if you're living in the same house, you're likely eating the same food.
Shit.
Hopefully zero. Realistically.
You can never be zero.
No, that's true. There are fecal particles on more or less everything.
Yeah.
Including your phone, actually. Your phone has got probably fecal particles on it.
Loads, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You need to stop putting it in the toilet, Luke. That is a real problem.
I just looked at it and went, does this bring me joy? Nah, it's quite a lot of stress, actually. Stick it in the bum.
And then you asked me to call you. But, but you always...
Gotta spice things up, Corey.
You always have your phone on vibrate, so you never hear... It was ringing and ringing and ringing.
You never questioned why when I actually pick up, I actually sound so distant and muffled.
It's like you're speaking from outside of a cave or something, you know? A very wet cave.
You can hear the dripping.
Animals scurrying about, you know?
Various objects that I've discarded over the years.
Yes, and you know my ear for random objects lying in a cave is spot on. Nobody can hear an object in a cave better than I can, you know?
Not bad, definitely not.
So, Luke... Shall we get back to the very serious topic of AIDS? And I keep on saying very serious. It is serious, you know what I mean? Because genuinely, it's hard to diagnose. And if you're constantly drunk, people are just going to assume that you're an alcoholic rather than you're making alcohol in your body through no choice of your own, right?
Or you're just a crazy guy. I don't think they'd assume you're drunk, because they'd ask you, have you drunk anything? And you're like, no. They just think you're weird.
No, but they test your... If you seem drunk, right? So if you seem drunk and they test your blood alcohol...
People being like scientists, not like just some guy, you know.
Well, look,
he doesn't test my blood alcohol, does he?
Or doctor... Look, okay, so a doctor might test you if you go to the doctor, right? And they'll be like, well, you're just drinking. Or your friends around you might be like, why... Like, you're acting drunk. Like, you must be hiding booze because you're an alcoholic, right? Mm. Or, you know... you get pulled over and the police breathalyze you, and you're like, you have had a drink, because we're the police and this little gadget says that you're a criminal, so we're going to arrest you now. Are you black?
Thought needed.
Well, here are some drugs. Now, you're now under arrest for that too.
No, they wouldn't do that.
I know.
That's very naughty, Corey. That's very naughty.
I know. The police are usually very upstanding, but if you look at the laws, look, if you look at the laws, it's actually okay to do that. You're allowed to plant drugs on black people. There's a loophole in there somewhere. I'm certain of it.
I just got reminded of an absolutely insane thing that I someone said to me by a police officer that I know.
Well, why don't you save it for the Patreon?
And I will say it on the Patreon because I'm not saying it publicly.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so no, but yeah, back to Otterbury syndrome. So yeah, this fecal transplant did help. They were looking at they were basically sort of this study was just kind of look and see how this sort of works. So what they found was the sort of pathways, the sort of, I guess, metabolic pathways that sort of result in this syndrome, right? So they found the sort of strains of bacteria, the sort of species of bacteria, and they were like, okay, so this is how it's being made. And that's really useful for understanding it. You can develop maybe better tests. You can develop better treatments for this sort of stuff as well. Understand maybe like changes that can be made in diet or probiotic things that can be done or antibiotic things that can be done, right, to deal with this. But because obviously you don't want to be overusing antibiotics because, you know, if you have antibiotic resistance in bacteria, it's just worse for everyone. Also, knocking
and then
out.
Everyone's drunk. And exactly. There's no cure.
And that would maybe be a better world, right? Where everyone is. That's another Mitchell. And look, I'm sick of this. Every single time we do a little riff in an episode, at least once an episode, we hit on a Mitchell and Webb sketch, and that is a Mitchell and Webb sketch being a little drunk.
When I come up with film ideas, and I'm like, oh, Christopher Nolan already did that.
Well, he's only made like 10 movies, man. Like, how do you manage to keep on?
I've only had 10 thoughts.
What if time
was
different?
Literally Tenet. I thought about Tenet and I was like, I should write that. And then a year or two later, Tenet came out. I was like, screw you, Christopher Nolan. You did it again.
Can I just be clear? If you had thought of the idea a year or two before Tenet had come out, I'm pretty sure it was announced a year or two before it came out. So
no, okay, it was before whatever timeline of Tenet release announcement, it was way before that.
And it sucks as well because you had also pegged Michael Caine for a role in it too, hadn't you?
By the way, sorry, just on the topic of old men, did you see this? Who was it? Was it Jordan Peele? Was said that he's like decided to focus more on directing, and the break moment was when he was asked to play the poop emoji. And then when you look at who was cast as the poop emoji instead of him, who was it? Ian McKellen.
It was Sir Patrick Stewart.
Sir Patrick Stewart.
Now, if I may,
perfect.
I believe
casting.
I've seen the tweet that you were talking that you've got this from, but I've also done a bit of extra reading. Look, I'm a well-read gentleman, okay, and I actually knew about this little fact before, although in your case I would say a factoid because it's not necessarily strictly true. No, this is true. So it is true that Jordan Peele decided to focus on directing and quit acting when he was offered the role of the poop emoji. And it is true that Sir Patrick Stewart took up the role. Now the real story here is that he was like, so Jordan Peele got the sort of whatever it is when actors are offered a role. I wouldn't know, I've never performed in my life.
The offer?
That doesn't sound right, but I'll go with it. So he got the offer for the role, and he was like, can I think about this for like a day? And they were like, all right. And then he goes back to them, and they're like, oh, sorry, we already gave it to Patrick Stewart.
Oh.
And he was like, okay, I'm done. I'm not acting anymore.
Whoa.
Focusing on directing.
Wow. I mean, this is literally a plot point in an Apple TV show starring Seth Rogen about Hollywood.
Oh, love that show, The Studio.
Yeah. There's this whole thing where like they ask I think it's a rapper to play a part, and he like that basically the guy, the studio exec, is trying not to be, he's trying not to come across racist.
That is mostly what we do on this, right? Trying not to be racist, but
you try and make
me
look racist, and I try desperately not to look racist with all the things that you try to make me look racist with.
Until the cameras turn off, Luke, and then the roles reverse.
Then the slurs are rolling.
We were talking about this fecal transplant and how it worked and all the sort of things that we were looking at, but I've got a quote here from the co-senior author, Elizabeth Hoffman, who is a doctor at the Infectious Disease Division in the Mass General Brigham Department of Medicine. Otterbury syndrome is a misunderstood condition with few tests and treatments. Our study demonstrates the potential for fecal transplantation. More broadly, by determining the specific bacteria and microbial pathways responsible, our findings may lead the way towards easier diagnosis, better treatments, and an improved quality of life for individuals living with this rare condition. Wow, she just did the entire episode that we did, but in two sentences.
But there was no fun.
And that's why we get paid the big bucks.
Yeah, that's my job in this economy. Talk over science.
Have a very, very loud and prolonged conversation about mostly nothing.
Yeah, imagine I met the Queen in. And she's like, and what do you do? And I'm like, I interrupt education.
Well, look, you know, there's no more interrupting you can do because I think we've reached the sort of climax. Finally, my least favorite part of anything.
Did you come?
Look, I come every episode. That is why that is.
But you've only done five. You said you've only cut.
No, no, no,
the,
no, no. Ten this week. I'm sorry. I've been seeing other podcasts. How I know when an episode is over is when that telltale warm wetness spreads in the front of my.
Corey, too much.
Too visual.
Too much.
Should I focus on other senses then, perhaps? No. When I hear the sound
what's the sound?
It's kind of like a wet crunch.
A crunch? What's crunching? I maintain that I don't think you've ever had an orgasm if this is what you think it's like.
It's more that I've never changed the underwear. I have my lucky Sci Guys underwear.
Okay, no, stop. Yeah, you're right. We've run out of time. End of the episode. Go away.
So, Homan is currently working with colleagues at UC San Diego on a study evaluating fecal transplantation in 8 patients with ABS. That is from Science Daily. You can find that article in the description and the actual study also in the description. As well, but that's it. That's ABS, getting drunk without drinking, and this little study that was done at the start of this year. And that's it. Have you got anything else you want to add, Luke, before we run off and do our little Patreon episode?
Sorry if we've made fun of this condition. We've just been having a little bit of fun, but I bet it is very difficult to be drunk all the time. If that is your life, I'm sorry. And please write in. Write in and tell us, because it'd be interesting to know.
Thank you, Luke, for that heartfelt apology. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
We're
out of time. We're out of time, Luke. You've wasted it. You've wasted all of our time with your silly jokes and nonsense, and now we need to end the episode and run off to Patreon. So that is all from us. Before we go, we would like to thank all of our patrons, with an extra special thank you to exec producers Glitch Rabbit, Rev Lunar, and Cody Miller. And thank you for watching and listening. You can find the full references for this episode down in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and you can find and contact us for everything else at SciGuysPod.co.uk. I need to learn this outro.
That's SciGuysPod.co.uk. I need to learn this outro.
.co.uk. Luke, quickly, get that domain. Get it now. You can find me at not Corey everywhere.
You can follow me at Luke Cutforth everywhere, and to the Patreon.
But that's my line. You can follow us to the Patreon. Stop
that's
stealing
my line. I already did it. Screw you.
Goodbye.